The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back here on the final hour of the program. Brandon Marcello joining us from 24/7. He's been chronicling all the events of the week from NIL to the CFP. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us as we talk about some of the bigger issues going right now. Headline, will college athletics learn from this seismic summer? Well, thank you for being here. We thought last year was pretty wild, but last year was all about anticipation of what would end up happening, but we weren't sure. This is completely different. Brandon, I know many years from now we'll be looking back at this. You're still a reasonably young guy, but what's it been like to cover?
Well, the way I put it in my column earlier this week is that we've had once-in-a-generation moments happen three different times, or three different ways at the same week, and now we still got NIL going live July 1st, and who knows what the next several years will bring, but I know this, college football and college athletics as a whole is going to be unrecognizable to what we see today.
Brandon, let's start with what's on the field, and that's the CFP meetings that you're well aware of taking place the other day, and a lot of fans came away feeling rather let down. Maybe that's just understanding the machinations of how college presidents operate, but what was your takeaway from 24 hours in Dallas?
Well, a couple of things. You know, the idea that, hey, we may not start this new 12-team playoff until 2026, pump your brakes on 2023. We still have a lot of legal areas to kind of go through here, including the TV contract with ESPN and several of those big-time bowl games that do not expire until after the 2025 season. So I probably should be asking you, Paul, because I'm always wondering about your contract negotiations. I want to see what ESPN's going to do with this college football playoff negotiation with the college football playoff. But I think in the end, everybody will come together and try to get it done as quickly as possible. I also think that everybody we talked to in Dallas kind of repeated the same thing about, hey, we have to look at this. A lot of legal things. We could wait till 2026. I almost think that was almost like a negotiating tactic that was kind of orchestrated by them. Goes, hey, say this because we want ESPN when we sit down in the same room with them, you know, this fall or next winter to be able to say, hey, we can wait. We can go shop this around to other programs and other networks and get more money for it. I think it might be part negotiation, but also doing their best as far as just trying to be patient. They don't want to get people's hopes up. But if that was the case, they should have said from the beginning in late April when they said, hey, by the way, we're looking at a 12-team playoff. They should have said, hey, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting. And you know, everyone knows where I work, but I haven't heard a word out of ESPN yet, have you?
No, and I don't think we will until someone corners the ESPN president somewhere. Maybe you can get him, let me know where he's going to be at SEC Media Days. But I think what we're going to see is it's going to be pretty quiet the next several months. People are going to be talking, ADs, commissioners, whether it's anonymously or not, saying, hey, this is what I think might happen or whatever. But no one really knows. They are really going to do this feasibility study. They're going to do all that. And then they're going to try to do something official with ESPN and trying to figure out what the next steps will be. Because they also have to talk to the bowl games, as I mentioned, because they have contracts that they're going to have to break if they start this thing as early as 2023. So they're going to study this thing. I don't think anybody needs to look over that and go, oh, they're not really doing that. That's just, you know, buzzwords. No, they're going to do it. And it's going to be quiet the next several months. And then things will start ramping up once late September arrives, when the Board of Managers meets once again in Dallas or somewhere else, September 28th. And they may put the formal approval on a 12-team playoff. They may not, but they've got to get that TV situation, the bowl situation, all those contracts figured out.
And Brandon, I bring this up because we had a guest on the other day, John Oran from the Sports Business Journal, who covers sports TV. And I don't know whether he was being spun or whether, you know, he knows something that none of us do, but he gave the impression that ESPN was really not that excited about getting in the middle of this conversation. They just absorbed another deal, as you well know, taking over at some point in time the CBS contract. That's reportedly hundreds of millions of dollars. The NFL situation, the NHL, major. I mean, ESPN is locked in on a million different things. However, he said that he thinks ESPN likes it the way it is right now on that Saturday before Christmas. They've got a million bowl games. They don't have to do a single thing because they already own all the bowl games.
That's the one thing that not a lot of people are talking about, and I didn't get to watch John, but I agree with him from that standpoint. I mean, listen, ESPN operates and owns a lot of these bowl games, and as we know, with ESPN, live content is what steers the ship. I mean, that's why you're live right now on SEC Network, because people love watching live programming, and sports, there's nothing like it. And with those bowl games, it might be a mid-December bowl game, and people go, oh, it's pointless. No, it's not, because millions of people tune into those games, and they're always, not always, but sometimes they're entertaining, and they provide content for everybody to kind of talk about even afterward, but of course when it's going on live. So I can understand where ESPN might be hesitant to go, listen, we don't feel like spending more money after we're dealing with the NHL. As you mentioned, they're trying to take over this, or they are going to take over this SEC deal with from CBS. But I think in the long run, both parties are going to have to kind of take a – they're going to find a middle road. They'll figure this out. But I think from the college football playoff perspective and the conference perspective, the smartest thing actually for them to do would be to wait till 2025, where they can actually shop this deal around to Fox or even NBC and ESPN and end up getting more money out of someone, which in the end will probably be ESPN anyway. But if they did that, they'll make more money in the long run in doing so. But I think there's so much pressure to get this done now. And as I said, why in April would you say – we're looking at this and we could potentially start it within like the next 2 or 3 years. You don't do that and get everybody's hopes up. So I seem to think they're going to find a middle road and they're going to get this thing done before 2026.
And Brandon, one more thing on that. I mean, they've got more enthusiasm for college football than we've heard in a long time. And they've already talked about how it's not inclusive. Most of the country's shut out. We're tired of it. And if they say, okay, well, we're going to stick with this for 4 or 5 more years. I mean, I don't know what the reaction from most people to that will be. But I mean, I would be devastated. I mean, that would just be a shock to the system that we're stuck with this bad system. And why is it a bad system? Because the same people who told us it was a great system now are telling us it's not very good.
Well, that's, I mean, heck, even Mark Keenum, who I very much respect and like, he even said, hey, we really like the 4-team playoff. And then the next thing was, by the way, we hate it, too. We're going forward with this 12-team thing, it looks like. You know, listen, you can't have it both ways. You can't speak out both sides of your mouth. But, again, I do think there's a lot of business vernacular that's going into this that's steering a lot of things right now. It's almost like they did that. The working group presented all this and they released it, and then they're like, oh wait, that wasn't really smart. We should have dealt with it a little with more kids gloves so we could maybe get more money out of this thing. And money steers everything. We could talk about the inequity of the sport, not everybody getting in and having a chance, or the Pac-12 not having a chance in the playoff, the postseason, or the group of five for that matter. But in the end, money steers this thing. We all know that.
Speaking of money, let's talk about the NIL before you go. It's going to happen. It's going to be in many different forms and looks. And everyone is going to profit. And the NCAA is going to say, we're not going to tolerate malfeasance and cheating. And we all are just going to laugh, aren't we?
That's the thing. I mean, we talk all day about the NCAA's just complete ineptness with all this. They've known this was coming for at least 2 years, and they just took their hands off the steering wheel and thought that Elon Musk would develop a self-driving NIL law form or something. I don't know. But, you know, the thing is, now they're turning to the schools. They're turning to the schools to go, hey, develop your own thing. Get ready for this. Police yourself. And my whole thing is, that's impossible. That's really impossible. People are going to get through the cracks. Rules are going to be broken. It happens everywhere. Not everyone's perfect. We're all human. So compliance departments are not going to be able to police this thing properly without, you know, universal kind of guidance where everybody's following. Also, coaches and ADs, after a year of this, if there's no federal law, they're going to hate it because they're going to say, hey, that program over there, two states away, their players are able to do more of this, and they're pitching it in recruiting going, hey, our player made $80,000 this year because they were able to take advantage of this loophole in our state law, whereas with us, we couldn't do it. So something's going to have to happen universally, but the NCAA, their lack of guidance on this is just completely ridiculous. And the other thing with this, and I hate saying this in a lot of ways, but people always want to blame Mark Emmert, and he's inept in a lot of ways with this job. But listen, the presidents and the chancellors and the member institutions, they are the ones who steer the NCAA. They're the one who guide it. So where were they when this was all going on? Why didn't someone take control of this and become a leader in this? And to me, we always talk about the Power Five maybe breaking off from the NCAA because the NCAA is ridiculous and all that. No, you're part of it. You help steer it. Your presidents and chancellors run the NCAA. They need complete reorganization. They need to look in the mirror themselves, these presidents and chancellors, and go, where did we go wrong? Not where Mark Emmert and NCAA went wrong, because they are the NCAA. The presidents and chancellors are the NCAA. They need to figure it out and get this all figured out in the next 2 or 3 years, or it's this Wild West situation is going to get worse and worse. It's going to be crazy this first year, but I'm telling you, in 3 years, if there's still no universal guidelines, watch out.
But Brandon, they might argue back. They might not. But, you know, they have day jobs. And, you know, Mark Emmert doesn't have anything else to do but other than, you know, peacock around and act like, you know, he is the king of the universe, where, you know, Mark Keenum runs a university. He has a leadership role at the SEC. I'm not defending them. I know what you're saying. And ultimately, the president signed off on keeping Emmert there, which brings a conspiracy theory, which I'm curious what you think. They want him there because he's competent, or they want him there because he's incompetent?
I think it's a little bit of both. He's competent enough to act incompetent, and that's what they want. Everybody needs a Roger Goodell. They need someone to kind of take the heat. The problem with Mark Emmert is he doesn't know quite how to handle it. He always makes the wrong decision after taking that heat and that criticism. But again, I do agree with you. These presidents have a lot of other things to worry about. But they need to figure out something where they can all carve out enough time to sit down and go, we've got to reorganize and figure out how to make the NCAA work for us instead of it just kind of floating out in space and we forget about it every year.
Great conversation, as always. And there is a football season, which I know we'll be talking about soon, Brandon. So next time, we'll leave all the nonsense that we've been fixated on and talk real football. Brandon Marcello joining us from 24/7. We are heading to a break. There is still time for you to get in at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here in the final hour of the program. Brad is up next. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, how you doing?
We are fine, thank you.
Good. So the question is, you know, so for Tennessee football, and I know you're a Tennessee grad, and I know you're not supposed to you know, be a favorite here, but with Josh Heupel, can he turn it around? You know, it seems like we're a basketball school, baseball school, softball school. This morning, you know, the freshman quarterback got dismissed. Can he turn this around, and what do you think? And is it just offense and no defense?
Well, Brad, I try to keep things real, and the real answer is I have no earthly idea, and I'm not being flippant, but I've watched this so many times before, and you know, of the most recent coaches, I thought Butch Jones had a chance. I really did, and I thought Jeremy Pruitt looked competent. I turned out to be extremely wrong about that. And Jones just flamed out for all kinds of reasons. I never thought Dooley had a chance. So, and I don't know if Heupel does. I can give you the same thing that any fan in Neyland Stadium on the first weekend of the season can tell you. But you know, ultimately, you have to be able to recruit. You have to get a roster that's on par with your biggest competitors, which are obvious. It's Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And right now, I don't see how that gap is going to be closed anytime soon. Do you?
I do not. And so I appreciate it. I'm just looking for a little insight and go White Station Park.
Thank you very much, Brad. Yeah. I mean, you can go up and down the dial in Knoxville or here or anywhere else and find people extolling the virtues of Josh Heupel. There's plenty to like, but you know, that program is really it's down, and you know, recruiting wise, is, you know, how do you catch up? I mean, I'm not saying overtake Georgia. I'm saying just be within the same, you know, continent of them, and that's really the challenge with a depleted roster. Having said all that, I think this season can be average. I mean, I think Tennessee could win 6 or 7 games, and ultimately the school is going to have to deal with whatever happens from the Jeremy Pruitt firing, and nobody really knows what that is right now. But thanks for the call. Really good to have you on. Bobby is up next in Florida. Hello, Bobby. Go right ahead.
Good evening, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was really not hoping to hear about Tennessee football after the run we've had in baseball and whatnot. It brings you back down a little bit. What I was calling about was, I think you were called Betty earlier. She brought up the smaller schools, and it got me thinking. I can still see your 5-star recruits going to some of the larger schools, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson. They want to get developed to head into the NFL. I think there is a group of 4-star, higher 3-star players that realize maybe they don't have the chance of going to the NFL, but they can go to a smaller school, be the big fish in the small pond as opposed to a tadpole in Tuscaloosa, and get an education, make a name for themselves, and put some money in their pockets along the way. I want to see what you thought of that.
Yeah, Bobby, I think you're right. To say we need to see how it shakes out is pretty obvious. I think the next week and the ensuing weeks are going to be really interesting. But at some point, the dust is going to settle, and everyone's going to realize what this is about, which I don't know yet. I mean, I know what I hear, but I don't know how it will look. And you know, some schools will create niches that perhaps we haven't thought of before, and I think there'll be a lot of attention to those who can really smartly find ways for it to be equitable, where everyone's getting something as opposed to one player cleaning up and the rest of the players being frustrated with a lack of success. I mean, I like the fact that it's going to be a real interesting business entrepreneurship for a lot of young people who have never gone down that road before. And they will find out very quickly the ways of the business world.
And the one thing that really came to my mind was John Fulkerson at Tennessee.
Right.
He was not Keon Johnson. He was not Jaden Springer. He was the goofy boy in the back. But he loved, you know, pals, that restaurant up in Johnson City, so much. And he plugged them himself. If he could pull 5-10 grand off of that. Why, you know, why would he not be allowed to do that?
Well, I think he will be, Bobby, and you're right. Fulke is I think the interest, I mean, the good news for me and you and all of us as consumers is it will force players to be a little more creative. And you know, every college athlete does not necessarily want to engage with you or me or anyone else. This will almost push them to be more outgoing. And most of this will be on social media, which is fine. But it may also encourage them to be a little more out there as a personality, which I think is fine. I don't see any downside in that. Now, coaches might, but you know, I think this is something we'll know very quickly where the market is, and it will change a little bit, and it may change during the season. Let's say a Tennessee receiver just for the, you know, catches a winning pass and they beat Pittsburgh in the second game of the year. I mean, all of a sudden, this guy's got, you know, maybe we don't know much about him. His marketability is going to go up as a result of that game. The spotlight will be on him, and then there'll be a lot of there'll also be a lot of media about how players are doing. And I think that there'll be a lot of opportunities for these men and women to profit. But you know, again, how much money is it? I said something yesterday, and I started thinking about it. I said, I don't know if there's going to be a tremendous amount of money. Then I started thinking, at 17 or 18 years old, there doesn't have to be. You know, anything is better than the system that we have been subjected to for a long time. Swami is up next. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, big guy. What's going on?
We are doing great, Swami.
Great, Paul. You know, Paul, with this... with this name, image, and likeness coming out this next week, you know, the Swami is, you know, I've been kind of over here, Paul, shining my crystal ball. And I think, you know, the Swami possibly, he could cash in on this too. I mean, listen to this. My people could get with your people, and your people would get with Danny Sheridan, and they could get back with my people, and you could bring on the Swami every Friday afternoon to predict the SEC games against the spread. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, that's a market that really isn't being serviced right now. You really can't get anybody to be picking games on Friday in the mass media, can you?
Well, you know, Paul Jerome from Birmingham has been after you for years for some type of compensation. I mean, he's basically treating you like the NCAA, you know. I mean, you've been over here living off people like Jerome and I-Man and Tammy and Jim from Tuscaloosa, and you know, the
do you know
their category? I mean, they're quarterbacks. I'm just a fan.
But do you know, Swami, the secret to success in picking college football games? But once you do it, you'll be successful. But if you can guarantee us that you can come on here every week and pick 70%, I think there'll be a market for you. I'll be your agent.
Well, there's no way to know unless you try it.
Well, but I can't. No, there isn't. I know one thing. I used to pick football games in a newspaper. And
oh, I did too. And believe me, I know all about the business.
Every once in a while, somebody would send me, Swami, a compilation of how I was doing against the spread. It was pretty scary. I mean,
about 52%, maybe.
Maybe. I can assure you, I was more than happy to pick the winners, but I would say I was. I never printed my spread number. What's that?
Oh, I am a Swami, right?
So, allegedly.
You know, the Georgia old coach, Mark Rick, had a great, I mean, when you had him on, about who will be the next. Hello?
Yeah, listen, Swami, I think we were losing you, but we have to go to a break. We don't have to, but we're being told we must. We will come back. We still have 30 minutes remaining. We hope you'll stick around and give us a ring.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.